Yes, indeed. Welcome into the 7 o'clock hour of Sports Talk. Tuesday, July 22nd, training camp eve for the Black and Gold. Saints players reported to day four camp, and the first practice will be tomorrow morning in this blazing heat. I think I heard Chris Miller saying the news earlier, the heat index at 107 today. Can't wait for a little rain to come by and kind of cool things down a bit. I know it's going to be brutal out there. Hopefully I can find a nice little shaded area. Definitely have my cooling towel ready, Charlie, and also a nice wide-brimmed hat to try and keep me shaded.
Yeah, when you asked Coach Moore about it, though, he kind of sounded like they wanted to embrace it, right? Embrace the heat, embrace kind of practicing in those really rough conditions because it's going to make them tougher and ready to go for the upcoming season. So it was definitely interesting to hear him kind of take that perspective because it's a positive one for sure.
I will say a couple years back when Kenny Vaccaro was around, the safety with the Saints, he had mentioned that he felt that in fourth quarters of games, this Saints team was more conditioned.
Right.
They had, you know, that better stamina about them because what they endured during training camp in the brutal heat here during, you know, leading up to the regular season kind of got them ready and, you know, in better shape to last an entire game. So hopefully that's the case. We got to look at the positives, right?
Absolutely. And that's the kind of approach that he's taken. And that's what you love to hear. His first training camp as a head coach and first, obviously, in New Orleans as well.
Before we get into that audio of head coach Kellen Moore at today's press conference, wondering your views of the other some Saints news today. With you were talking about it during the break. The Saints' new uniforms are going to be wearing that gold look with the black helmets. To me, I like it a lot more than having that black helmet with the white jersey. That black and gold, you know, combo goes a hell of a lot better. And I know there's been some criticism, though, about the Nike jersey gold not really being such a gold look to them. It looks more kind of beige.
Khaki. That's what I've heard. And I can't get it out of my head because it does look kind of khaki. And it's not obviously the Saints thing. That's a Nike issue, is that they made the gold jerseys not look like really gold. It's more khaki than anything. You know, it's funny because we haven't really even been able to bring it up because it's been such a flurry between the
Tyron
news
right.
and then also all the audio that we've got to play from the pressers with Loomis and Kellen, and then Kellen joining the show as well. But yeah, no, Steve, I'm not the biggest fan of it. I guess we'll see how it looks in live game action.
Yeah.
I really like the white helmet with like the color rush unis. I think that's going to be a really, really clean look. But as far as the new gold jerseys, and maybe, you know, I've heard basically, people are on one side of the fence or the other with this thing. The reaction's either, oh, I love these, like these look great, or there's people, I guess, kind of on my side of the fence that's just, it looks kind of more khaki than gold.
Yeah, I definitely want to see it in person to see if maybe the photos hopefully aren't doing it justice.
Sure, and we can maybe criticize or judge later on once we actually see them in action.
But right.
Just based off of the photos and the video that they had showed initially.
Yeah.
I can't lie and say that I wasn't a little bit disappointed.
Well, I guess if they start, you know, a winning tradition in those gold unis, everyone will like it a lot more.
Absolutely.
Head coach Kellen Moore, we heard from Mickey Loomis in the 6 o'clock hour. Now we'll get into what Coach Moore had to say as the black and gold kickoff training camp tomorrow. It was reporting day today. The big news, obviously, was Tyron Matthews' retirement. Kellen Moore gets into that and a whole lot more. So let's hear from Coach Moore at today's press conference.
Really, really excited about the opportunity to get this training camp started. This is going to be a really fun process of building an awesome foundation over the course of certainly the offseason program through being in April with these guys. And so, you know, it's been a really good process. Ultimately, we were evaluated in pads 3+ hours on Sundays. And so we're getting closer to that. And that's what training camp's all about, the physical components. And so it'll be a lot of fun. It'll be great to be back here in Metairie, to be doing training camp out here with our fans in this community. We're really excited about it. Obviously, Mickey hit a lot of the roster components here. So obviously, Tyron retiring, just a spectacular NFL career. His work ethic, playmaking skills, the impact he had on this community and this league. Just incredible. And so, you know, really, you know, he had a huge impact. And then obviously we have two guys that'll start on PUP, Taysom and Foster. So we should be good to go there. We'll see how that progresses and open up for any questions.
Did the timing of it kind of catch you by surprise with training camp about to be started and obviously, you know, the impact it'll have on the depth chart?
We had it was a little bit of a surprise, but obviously, you know, sometimes these things happen as you go into training camp and you know, coming off the summer break. And so, you know, we had enough heads up and some awareness there that, you know, we'll be fine. We'll continue to find ways to navigate this as we go.
Thanks.
How much does this impact you guys as coaches? Like, even since the day you got here from now, it kind of feels like it's like a whole different path, a whole different team. Like, how do you guys adjust with it?
Yeah, that's what the NFL is. It's about adjustments, whether it's personnel or schematically. And so you understand that, you know, you have plans in place and you have to adjust. And, you know, I think overall that safety position, we got some younger players, some guys who've been there through the whole offseason process that have done just a phenomenal job. We're excited for those guys, and we'll continue to evaluate roster acquisition as we go.
Now, going into your first training camp as a head coach, have you kind of been game planning, like, how you approach this in this role for a while, or is something that you kind of put together just, you know, like one thing?
I think certainly you take a lot of notes as you go through this process over all these years. You know, every place has great things, and you get to pull from all those different experiences and exposures, and you get to team up with a group of people to come up with what we feel like is a really, really good training camp that pushes our guys, challenges them, but ultimately gets them ready for Sundays in the fall. And so we feel great about it. We're excited for it, and ready to just get started.
How will you, obviously the big question will be, yeah, your young quarterback, how do you plan on managing that rotation? Will it be all three of, just kind of where you are right now entering this process?
Yeah, so our plan is to go through a rotation process early in camp. We're kind of in this installation phase. We're really in the install phase, going through the schematics. We'll rotate these guys leading up to the Chargers game, and obviously we'll make the adjustments kind of once we get out of that first preseason game and go from there. And, you know, really excited about these guys. These guys have knocked it out of the park from the offseason program to the summers. You know, it's a younger group, but they've just done a phenomenal job preparing themselves.
You know, you get a lot of opinions from a lot of different people that you are very collaborative at. Coach, when it comes to that quarterback battle, how many different people do you lean on, or do you kind of just ask everybody what they think as you're sort of forming your own opinion?
Certainly the people that are in the quarterback room will you know, be the main guys that we talk to. And obviously from a personnel standpoint with Mickey and his group, we'll have plenty of conversations as we go through this. And you know, these guys get plenty of opportunities, and we're excited for them.
What's your day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I'd say the physical stuff is obviously relevant. You want to see that they have the physical tools, which I think all these guys do. They'll knock that out of the park. I think as we go through this process, it's really about the operation, the decision-making, and the consistency. And, you know, over the course of this whole entire training camp, there'll be a number of days. And the fun part about training camp is, I think, like, they're going to throw interceptions in preseason and in training camp. And that's okay. And that's part of the process. There's an element of you want to see them go through a bad day or go through a challenge and have to kind of come up and rise above that. And so I think that's what this training camp will provide.
What's your philosophy on a rotation? I know during, like, rotation stuff, we didn't see, like, Monday is Tyler's day and Tuesday is Spencer's day. Is it mix and match throughout sessions, or do you like to give each guy a one?
It will lean more towards a player per day with the first group, but you know, there'll be a few things here and there, and that we'll rotate those guys a little bit just to make sure we're getting you know, the right reps based off what we want for each day. But you know, we'll try and get those guys some consistency. I think that's the biggest thing is you don't want these guys rotating to the point that, you know, they're just looking around figuring out, am I taking these next reps or not? You want them to have the comfort in knowing exactly what the expectation is for each day.
Will that be equally divided among three guys, or the two?
Yeah, well, yeah, certainly we have a viewpoint for all three of those guys getting opportunities, and you know, we'll see where it goes.
Following on that, like, OTAs, minicamp, there are some days where just like the two went, like, do you need all four to get reps every day, or is it some days there's going to be some guys getting throws and some days there aren't?
Yeah, every day has a different itinerary, obviously. We'll try and get the top three guys as much as we can. Hunter's obviously not going to get as many just because we're navigating with those other guys right now. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. And obviously it's a long training camp. There's preseason games. And so we'll make adjustments as we go.
Mickey talked about kind of narratives outside the building versus what we all talk about inside the building. One of the big narratives outside is you coach directly the quarterback at 40. That's your guy. Do you have to talk to them about that, and anywhere do they know everybody has an equal chance for this?
Yeah, I think we've been really consistent with our process with these guys. I think they're all on the same page. They understand the opportunity that's ahead of them. Let them all have the chance, have the opportunity to compete. I think that's all every player can ask for in this league. We'll certainly provide that for these guys, and really excited with where it's going to go.
Kevin, we've seen an approach a lot in the NFL where a team with a young quarterback will start the veteran for a little while, give the young quarterback more time not to be thrown in. You know, I'm picturing Kobe Brissett and Drake May as last year. Is there anything from your past experiences where you don't feel like that's necessary with a young quarterback to have someone else sort of
give them a grace period?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a lot of different paths. I think ultimately when the quarterback's ready and he's the top guy, he goes and plays, you know, whether he's young, old, or anything in between. And so, yeah, I think from my experience, I've been with a lot of veteran quarterbacks. Dak did start as a rookie as a fourth rounder. He was ready, and he went out there. And so there's a lot of different paths that these guys can take. I think the most important thing is just seeing those characteristics that we talked about, the consistency, the operation, and the decision-making. See that each and every day, and you know it'll present itself, and we'll make the decision.
There were some mentions earlier this offseason about the offense sort of being built around or tailored to Tyler Shough. Are those conversations you're having with each of those three quarterbacks?
I think all these quarterbacks do a really good job. I think they all have the ability to make all the throws. I think they all have some element of athleticism that allows them to play off schedule and with their feet in the run game and the pass game. And so I think this will complement them all really, really well. And obviously, as you go, just like any position, we tailor stuff as we go. I think before the Chargers game, the main focus is really getting the foundation set, getting these guys experience, reps, all that sort of stuff from a schematic standpoint. And then we kind of shift gears coming out of the Chargers game to start heading towards the regular season and start making decisions that we have to make and starting to focus from a schematic standpoint what we want to be and some things that we want to navigate. And so we'll be able to utilize all this time to create that.
Would you prefer to have like a direction by them with the quarterback, like an ideal world, like those last couple of preseason games when we start failing?
I think anytime the decision becomes clear, we'll make the decision. We'll just roll with it, and that can happen whenever. We'll just kind of go through this process again. We'll see where it takes us. If it goes all the way to the end, it goes all the way to the end. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But you know, these guys will have their opportunities.
Would you rather get it done early if it's possible? Is there a goal in mind?
Anytime you can get more reps with guys that are on a consistent basis, there's always obviously value to that. So we'd love to get to that point. But again, there's got to be an element of patience here to go through a process that gives these guys opportunities. Again, I think you don't want to jump to conclusions too fast. Again, I think it's important that these guys go through some struggles at times, you know, throw an interception in practice out here in Metairie and then respond the next series or the next day. Like we want them to go through those things. And those are all, you know, things that you can evaluate and appreciate.
Well, Taysom Hill has such a unique skill set and package of offense. And then when you throw on top of that, you haven't been able to work with them on the field yet. How do you decide how you're going to incorporate it? Does that lessen maybe the idea of QB power packages and specific Taysom Hill packages?
I think it'll definitely be an ongoing process, just working through that with Taysom, with us, as we kind of go through this journey. You know, the rehab's the most important process right now. That's what his focus is. But again, preparing him for the NFL season. And obviously the tools that he has are really, really special. His ability to play the quarterback position, to play multiple other positions is really rare in this league. It's going to be a huge advantage for us. It's what has made him so special. And so we're excited to let the rehab process go. And then once he can start getting acclimated, we'll start building that as we go.
I think you said roster positive with that rehab process. And do you expect to get it back early in the year? How exciting is that? Just the possibility of getting it back early.
We're really excited to get Taysom Foster back. Now, when that comes, you know, I'm not a medical guy, so I'm not going to jump to conclusions there. But I think it's important for these guys. They have to go through a physical recovery process and a mental recovery process, and that's real. A lot of guys in this league go through these injuries, and they're challenging for these guys. And so these guys have been working their tails off. It's so awesome to see them out here.
Entering training camp, what makes you kind of confident in the roster where it's at now that it's one that can, you know, obviously compete for the NFC South?
Yeah, really excited about the process that we've gone through. I think OTAs, our guys, just the effort, the connection, what they're building is really, really special. I think the play style is huge. We got guys who play really physical game. They're really smart players, and they play fast, and that's all we can ask for. And so we're really excited about it. We got a nice blend of some veteran guys who've been in this league for a long time that we can lean on, that have great experience, that can still play. And then we got some younger guys that are ready to rock and roll here in the NFL. And so it's going to be a fun process.
That was Saints head coach Kellen Moore, and bravo to Coach, man. You know, from his introductory first press conference when he was introduced as the new head coach of the Saints until now, I feel like you see a huge difference. You hear a huge difference in him at the podium. Definitely a lot more comfortable, more expansive on his answers, a lot longer. And something I thought was interesting, you know, Charlie, looking at the Saints tight end room now with Taysom Hill, Foster Moreau on the physically unable to perform list, That's pretty thin behind Juwan Johnson, man.
Yeah, Dallin Hulker retiring, too.
That, too, right.
Who knows what's going to happen there? I know that there's Saints fans on social media clamoring about Noah Fant, the former Seahawks.
He was released,
that got cut loose, and he's kind of a veteran guy. We'll see what they end up doing with that tight end room, because that's another one of those spots on the Saints roster. You're kind of wondering, what's it really going to shape up to be behind Juwan Johnson, especially with those two guys on the PUP list? So we'll have to see. But to your point about Kellen, yeah, I agree 100%. He sounded, you know, he's the boss man, and he knows he's the boss man.
Right. He's coming into his own now as a head coach, I feel like.
Exactly. And he's just going to get more and more comfortable as it goes along.
And he's going to – I was surprised he spoke today, because every single day of training camp, he has to speak after practice. So kudos to coach for also coming out in the pre-training camp press conference.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to play plenty of Mickey, because Mickey's not going to talk
every day.
But Kellen is going to be speaking very, very often. So you will hear a lot of him on Saints Radio WWL.
Taking a break. When we get back, more football, but fantasy football. Andrew Erickson, fantasy football analyst at Fantasy Pros, gets us ready for draft day, whenever that happens to be for you folks. I know I got an email from my commissioner talking about setting up a draft time and seeing who's all in for this season. Looking forward to that, too. A great part of the football season is fantasy. So stay right here on WWL. We'll be back with even more on Sports Talk after this. Welcome back into Sports Talk on this training camp eve, just getting closer and closer to Saints football. That also means closer to fantasy football, folks. And to help us talk about that, Andrew Erickson, fantasy football analyst at Fantasy Pros, joining us now. Andrew, thanks so much for the time, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm really excited. Training camp, like you said, it's starting to get kicked off. We already got some teams reporting. So news is trickling in. Rankings are updated every single day. It's a great day.
Curious your feelings on a guy like Saquon Barkley going into this season. Obviously a huge year for the Philadelphia Eagles last year. And you hate to be that guy that, you know, buys high on a guy after coming off a really stellar season. Plus, he's on the dreaded cover of the Madden football. So I don't know if the curse is going to follow him there, but curious how you feel about, you know, drafting Saquon in the round one this year.
Yeah, I think that Saquon's going to probably be very popular as the number one pick off the board just based on what he did last year. But I think that there's legitimate cause for some hesitance with that, just based on the fact that we've seen running backs come off workloads similar to Saquon. I mean, if you include the playoffs last year, he was right around just under 500 total touches. Like, that's a ton of work. And just 1 year ago, Christian McCaffrey was also coming off a very big, massive workload. And he ended up missing the majority of the following season. So I'm not saying that he's going to miss that many games or potentially be a total bust, but I think that chasing last year and expecting the exact same thing to happen, I think that's maybe a little bit aggressive. So I know me personally, I do feel a little bit better about some of the other top running backs between Bijan Robinson or Jahmyr Gibbs. Again, those guys are younger, 23 years old, in their Uber primes. So I think that's the direction I would probably go if I'm not going with a wide receiver like a Jamar Chase.
You know, Andrew, I was looking at Fantasy Pros kind of tier ranking, and it feels like the top three wide receivers are basically the same as they were last year, maybe in a different order with Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, just kind of how you view which guy you want to take. If you're at the 101, 102, 103, all those top three receivers are going to be studs once again this upcoming season.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely the consensus top three. I feel pretty confident that Chase, just based on his connection with Joe Burrow, based on how bad that Bengals defense projects to be yet again. I mean, they're going to be throwing the ball a ton. And again, we haven't seen a lot of wide receiver ones repeat. You know, it's basically, I think, since Antonio Brown that we haven't seen a guy been able to do it. But if you're going to bet on anybody doing it, it's probably Chase and Burrow, that connection, betting on happening again. Between Lamb and Jefferson, I do lean slightly towards Lamb just because it is a bit more of a proven commodity between him and Dak Prescott. I mean, right. Last time we saw Dak healthy, Lamb was the wide receiver one overall in 2023. Now, J.J. McCarthy, I think that we're all projecting him to be an upgrade over Sam Darnold, but it's still a brand-new quarterback. You know, we don't know what the chemistry will likely be between Jefferson and J.J. McCarthy. So maybe just a little bit hesitance with that, but which is why, again, I go with Lamb, but you're really splitting hairs between the top three guys.
Yeah, I'm right with you there with Jefferson. The concern at quarterback there is a little bit. I'm sure he's still going to produce, but not having that, you know, elite trigger man there. And while we're on quarterbacks, I got to imagine going into this year, not in any order, but probably your top three guys have got to be Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow, huh?
Yeah, I think that the top two are pretty lockstep with the consensus. What I would say in terms of fantasy-wise, I think Burrow does take a step back between two of the other mobile quarterbacks in the NFC, between Jaden Daniels and Jalen Hurts.
Okay.
Like, I would put Joe Burrow behind those two guys just because Burrow, again, as he can throw for as many touchdowns as he wants, but if he's not adding that extra rushing element like Daniels and Hurts, I mean, the tush push is here to stay. So Hurts is going to lock down 15 rushing touchdowns. That just gets him such a high floor week in and week out that Burrow has to throw four passing touchdowns to kind of match that. So I would rank those other mobile quarterbacks, but in terms of the pure pocket passers, Joe Burrow is really in a tier of his own.
You know, Andrew, I'm not going to ask for sleepers necessarily, but just generally speaking, once you're getting to like round five or six of your draft and you're looking for, you know, a potential stud running back, wide receiver that could outperform their projections, who are some of those guys that you're kind of looking at ahead of the season?
Yeah, so I think that you'll find that there's a lot of rookie running backs kind of going in that range where you don't really feel like super confident because, hey, it's a rookie. You're not really sure what his role may or may not be. I know for me, maybe it goes a little bit later than round five, but I'm really excited about the Steelers rookie running back, Caleb Johnson. You know, when I scouted him kind of before the NFL draft, he reminded me a lot of Derrick Henry. And when you land in a spot with Arthur Smith as the OC in Pittsburgh, and an offense that just got rid of Najee Harris, there's a lot of opportunity for him in that offense. I think that he can really have a big impact, even as a third-round pick. This rookie running back class is really, really talented from top to bottom. So you're going to see some of these rookies definitely outproduce their ADP. From a veteran standpoint, the guy that points out to me or stands out in the desert, Arizona Cardinals, James Conner. He was an absolute monster last year. He checked off a lot of the high-end efficiency marks, especially for a running back that is a little bit older. Usually you don't see that, but the Arizona Cardinals, and as you guys know, I mean, Cardinals are coming to New Orleans week one, and that's a matchup I want to attack. So I think James Conner is going to have a fantastic start, and he's going to be a bell cow as long as he's healthy.
Talking to Andrew Erickson of Fantasy Pros here on WWO Sports Talk. We're talking about those sleepers or breakout candidates for this year right there that maybe in the later rounds. Curious, well, what are some of your rookies that you like going into this year? Is it like a Cam Ward or even a Travis Hunter?
Yeah, I think that some of the top rookies, especially the guys that went in round one, are definitely the names to note. Travis Hunter, I think, is a big upside swing play. Now, there's obviously concerns about, well, how much offense is he playing? So yeah, that's something to kind of, that's why you subscribe to places like Fantasy Pros. We'll keep you up to date on, hey, what is he doing in training camp so you guys are making the right decisions. Tetrell McMillan for the Carolina Panthers, drafted eighth overall. I think that he projects like a true alpha in that Panthers passing game. And then another receiver, somebody that has kind of, I think, kind of flying under the radar a little bit, even though he was the first pick in the second round, is Jaden Higgins. For the Houston Texans, I mean, he should step into an immediate role in that Texans offense opposite of C.J. Stroud or opposite of Nico Collins. And I think that's a really good opportunity for him. You look at the last couple of years, we've seen some second-rounders really pop off. Last year, it was Ladd McConkey. The year before that, it was Rashee Rice. And this year, I think it could be Jaden Higgins.
Curious your projections for guys like an Ashton Jeanty with the Raiders and also Amarian Hampton with the Chargers as well.
Yeah, those guys are really, really exciting. Ashton Jeanty, it's a bit of a sticker shock because you're going to have to probably draft him at the back end of round one or the top of round two. But,
gotcha.
I mean, this guy's prospect profile is nearly flawless from top to bottom. He can do it all. He's a do-it-all running back. He's going to the Raiders. And the bet on Jeanty is, I mean, this guy could lead the NFL in touches his first season. Raheem Mostert is the running back that's backing him up. He's a 33-year-old. I mean, he's made of glass, guys. So I think that Jeanty, he just has such a high workload projection that it's going to be hard for him to not pay off his ADP unless he gets hurt. And as for Hampton, look, this Najee Harris thing with him missing time with this eye injury from the fireworks incident, I think that matters because that means Amarian Hampton's getting opportunities with the first team. He's getting more first-team reps. And he's a really talented player, a three-down skill set, very good in the passing game. So I like both guys to be at least, at worst, you know, top 24 running backs. And, yeah, you want to be in on these rookie running backs as much as you can.
Staying in the running back position, I wanted to ask you about a second-year guy, someone that really kind of took the league by storm in the second half of his campaign, and that's Bucky Irving for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know that on Fantasy Pros. He's ranked as the number 9 running back on the big board. So it's not really a shocker or anything here. But Bucky Irving, that incredible rookie campaign that he had in Tampa, expecting to kind of build upon it for his second year, right?
Yeah, I mean, most rookies that hit as running backs their first year, when they enter that second season, they usually do better. It's something that you want to buy. You usually want to buy second-year running backs. So seeing Bucky Irving is no surprise, just how effective he was last year. I believe he led the NFL in yards after contact per attempt. Now, I will say there are some circumstantial factors that don't necessarily have been working in Bucky Irving's favor, especially some news of late where we found out that Tristan Wirfs, the stud tackle for the Buccaneers, he's going to miss some time. Like, I think that matters to an extent. There is no Liam Cohen anymore, so we have a new OC coming in. Now, he should be familiar with the personnel, so I don't expect him to change up things that dramatically. But anybody expecting Bucky Irving to, okay, this guy's going to get loaded up with 300 touches, is probably going to be disappointed, because I think Rashad White will still have a role in this offense, but you're just betting on the talent with Bucky Irving, because he showed last year that, I mean, this guy can make anybody miss when they get him in space, and he's just great after contact. So, but there are some things that you should pay attention to with Bucky Irving.
Andrew, for you, what's been like the overall impression of folks, you know, about thinking about the Saints offense? Obviously, the uncertainty at quarterback is a huge distraction from folks to think about drafting anybody there, but also kind of hurts the value of wide receivers. But, you know, the Alvin Kamara, we know, is a proven stud and probably safe to draft. But got to think that at least the addition of an offensive mind like Kellen Moore does kind of help the Saints in fantasy land.
Yeah, it is a really interesting team to try to parse through, because you see an opportunity where, okay, we could find some fantasy opportunities here, because everything is baked in. You know, nobody is drafting these Saints player uber aggressively because, hey, they're starting Spencer Rattler or Tyler Shuck. Like, we're not expecting this offense to be scoring necessarily a ton of points. But it's all baked into the cost. And it's a matter of, okay, where can we find potential values of some of these Saints players? I agree with you. Alvin Kamara just seems like a locked-in, loaded RB2 in full PPR, where I think that the best rushing days are behind him. But he's just such a lock for catching so many passes out of the backfield. And that's just so great in PPR leagues. I think that with Olave, that's where people have a little bit more hesitation. Just after last year, he has the because he's up to 5 concussions now. So that's something that's always in the back of fantasy managers' minds. And how does he gel with the new quarterbacks, especially when he doesn't offer a lot after the catch? So that's a concern for me personally. And with Kellen Moore coming in, I know that Moore's claim to fame with a lot of his offenses has been the tempo, right? He's run a lot of plays, and if the Saints are in negative game scripts, you're expecting, okay, we should get a lot of volume. But does that tempo stay fast when you have inexperienced quarterbacks? Like, that's kind of the question I want to see answered as I watch the Saints this season. With Tyler Shuck, are they still running fast, or does he have to slow it down because it is a rookie quarterback? But then again, they drafted Tyler Shuck because he's played so much football, right? So is he going to be like a regular rookie quarterback? That remains to be seen. But I think there are some values. I personally like Rashid Shaheed just because, I mean, he goes even later than Olave, and he just had those big spike weeks last year that I really liked, really enjoyed.
Andrew, awesome insights. Thanks so much for the time. What can folks find at Fantasy Pros that separates you guys from the rest?
Oh, what does separate us from the rest? It's all about the tools, really. We have the mock draft simulator. We have the cheat sheet creator. Basically, everything that you need to dominate your league. And I know right now we actually have a 3-day free trial going on, which is something that we don't offer quite often. So you can sign up. You get 3 days of free premium access to the Fantasy Pros. Gives you access to all the tools, all the rankings, the cheat sheet. And you'll realize, hey, I have to have this for my draft.
Everyone likes free. Check out Fantasy Pros, folks. Thanks so much for the time, Andrew.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Andrew Erickson, fantasy football analyst at Fantasy Pros. We're taking a break here on Sports Talk. Be back with more right after this on WWL. Want to let all you country music fans know that big news, superstar and Louisiana's own Lainey Wilson will now be featured as a special guest at Mumford & Sons Railroad Revival Tour Sunday, August 3rd at Champion Square. WWL's got 5 pair of tickets to give away, and one could have your name on it. For a chance to win, just go to WWL.com/contest. Sing along with the English folk rock celebration Mumford & Sons featuring Lainey Wilson and Trombone Shorty, courtesy of Live Nation. Nation and WWL. We're going to take another break. Be back to close out Sports Talk right after this on WWL. That's a wrap on this evening's show, folks. Tomorrow, we got the Cajun Cannon in the house. Get Bobby Hebert's practice notes from day one of Saints training camp. Plus, we'll hear from head coach Kellen Moore and select players. Plus, just a week away from the first practice of LSU's fall camp, which players need a breakout season for the Tigers to earn a spot in the playoffs. Huddle up with Bobby, Mike, and myself, 4 to 8, WWL and the Odyssey app. Have a great evening, everybody. For Charlie Long, I'm Steve Geller. Looking forward to training camp tomorrow, even though the heat will be a-blazin'. Looking forward to that QB competition and the latest from the black and gold on the field. We can't wait to digest it all and talk about it tomorrow. See you then, folks. Have a great night.